You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
No doubt about it.
Things are crazy right now.
Just read a paper.
On second thought, don't.
You're listening to something
rock solid.
Something to depend on.
Believe in.
Expert information on gaming.
Odds.
And more.
This
is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Network. Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out. Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown. Oh, Kenyon Drake. A miracle.
Murray heaves it downfield. It is. Oh, it's caught. It is caught. DeAndre Hopkins. Miraculous.
Fires. Mike's it.
Oh, we are off and running in today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel getting you prepped for week number 14. A lot of news and notes to get into, but we're going to lead off with that battle in Buffalo last night. Bills were a 3-point favorite. New England went into Buffalo and just ran all over the Buffalo Bills. 222 rushing yards on the night. Damian Harris with a big night, 111 yards, a touchdown, broke that game open 8-0. They never looked back. Mac Jones, Scott, three passes all night. It didn't matter. New England was the better team in that matchup.
Yeah, amazing. You know, when you say a team ran over another, that you're saying it literally last night with the Buffalo Bills and New England Patriots, right? I mean, what's amazing about it, like, they knew it was coming. You know, I'd like to have asked one of the guys in Buffalo. I know the post-game press conference with a couple of guys, including Micah Hyde, got a little testy.
Yeah.
Because they were asked, you know, were you embarrassed with that? And then you're like, embarrassed, you know, God forbid you should ask a player. You know, these players have to realize that they're not, and I wish the reporter would say this, I'm not accusing you of, you know, being embarrassed. It's a question, you know. Were you embarrassed? If it's no, it's no. I'm not saying you were. But the player always assumes it's an accusation. But it's just a question, that's all. If it's no, it's no. So, but they just, you know, they couldn't stop him. But I'd like to have known, you know, if you're a Buffalo Bills player, my question would have been, Joe, like, as a fan watching, I know the Patriots are running the ball. I just know they threw the ball three times. I mean, time after time after time. Didn't matter what the circumstance. So you as a player, do you know? Or is there still that thought that they may still throw the football? Because if you 100% knew and you still couldn't stop them, you know, I'm waiting for a story to come out about how the Patriots had better cleats and the Bills defensive linemen, you know, they had their own shoes. What was that game? I forget. I think it was a college football game where they changed shoes at halftime and it changed the whole game, or NFL game. I don't know. But that's what I'm kind of waiting for, because, you know, they couldn't get them off the field. And Buffalo, really more than anything else, couldn't do anything offensively either. That to me is almost the story. It'll be overshadowed. But that Bills offense, again, non-existent. It's amazing.
It is. And it's fitting for this week, because in college football, we have that marquee battle, Army-Navy in MetLife Stadium, right? Run, run, run. And that's exactly what New England did. And I'll give credit to Bill Belichick and that staff. They found the weakness of Buffalo, and they said, you know what, we're going to exploit it, and we don't care if we do it the whole game. If we're in a position to pull this game out and we don't need Mac Jones to throw the football, we'll rely on that heavy offensive line. And on the flip side, I watched that press conference, and these players need to understand, you're making millions of dollars, you're in the public eye, you're going to be called out every now and then, because it was the first game, I believe, in 40 years where a quarterback only made three pass attempts, right? So go back to the 1980s or the early 70s, where teams were just run heavy in that type of aspect. It resembled a college game. And at the end of the day, it's big man football. You know, this game was won in the trenches. New England stepped up. They were the more physical team at the point of attack. And I'll say this, I'll take it a step further. Remember a few years ago, about 6 or 7 years ago, with Trent Richardson and Eddie Lacy, and there was that, you know, ha-ha Clinton Dix, that Alabama players were potentially maybe better college players than they were pros. Well, fast forward, Damian Harris stepping up on the big stage, right? We've seen now Tua step up, you know, other players as well. Julio Jones throughout the years, Ridley stepping up. I mean, the list goes on and on. These Alabama players, including Derrick Henry, are stepping up and making dividends. And Damian Harris in a big spot before he got hurt. That was a dynamic run. The vision in terms of that touchdown run to take it to the house to really set the tone of that ballgame.
Yeah, and really, you kind of forget that he was an Alabama guy, but yeah, it is, that's true. So, and then he even ended up leaving the game and then came back and everything. But, you know, if you're a Bills fan, Joe, I mean, I'd like to know what it was that made the Patriots think, okay, you could run on us, you know, because I got the number one ranked defense in yardage allowed. I got the number six ranked defense in rushing defense in yards allowed. What made Belichick think you could run on me? If I'm the Bills, that would be my question to New England, because, you know, unless that it just, you know, turned out that way. I mean, was that Belichick's? I mean, I don't think anybody goes into a game thinking they're only going to throw three times,
right. But,
you know, was the game plan, we're going to run 75-80% of the time, and if so, what made you think you could do that?
Well,
considering the Bills' defense this year has been pretty good against the run.
Except in that blowout loss to Jonathan Taylor, where he pounded the rock for 5 touchdowns. That could have been a huge indicator when Indianapolis went into Buffalo. They abused them at the point of attack. And maybe, you know, Bill Belichick, he finds a weakness, he exploits it. And if you don't think he's going to change, maybe, you know, at the end of the day, it was like, let's go until they can stop us. And it's like, they're not going to run on next drive. All of a sudden, 8-9 plays, they're pounding, they're smacking you in the face. They didn't change up. They did not make adjustments.
Yeah, it's amazing that they could have done that. But 3 passes the whole game. Wow. And you win the football game. Funny.
It's amazing. That's why Bill Belichick is still the best head coach in the NFL. When Scott and I come back, we'll dive into the Week 14 action. Keep it where it is. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel, getting you prepped and ready for this coming weekend's action. We left off talking about that dominating performance by the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick. Scott, when you look at the Super Bowl odds now, prior to Monday night's game between Buffalo and New England was right in the area of about, I believe it was like 14-1 to win the Super Bowl. After last night's victory, they are now 7-1, right behind Tampa Bay and Kansas City. Are you buying in now? You jumped on their train last week. I didn't. I'm still putting the square peg into the round hole. The fans might be right. I might mush them straight to a Super Bowl win, and Mac Jones could be the next Tom Brady, even though I love him. But are you buying in now after this dynamic run in 9-4 and leading the AFC East?
Boy, it's hard. I went against them last night as well. I didn't think they would beat Buffalo. I really didn't. Third choice overall. You know, the one thing they showed last night is that obviously they can win playoff-style football, right? It's not going to be shootouts. You think about where they could end up, you know, the various spots. Cleveland, cold weather. Tennessee, cold weather. Buffalo, cold weather. Pittsburgh, cold weather. Baltimore, cold weather. Kansas City, cold weather. Denver, cold weather. I mean, well, that would be in the West, Kansas City and Denver. But, you know, all, you know, it could be anyway, all cold weather sites to get to the Super Bowl. So, you know, that they show they can, you know, run the ball in cold weather facilities and then win on the road. So, but are they the third choice? I mean, are they going to be, think about the gauntlet they would have to go through, maybe Kansas City, Baltimore. I mean, I don't know. Well, at this point, they're in a position to get the first round, you know, a bye. So that would help their cause. But I can't see them. I don't know. I still can't buy in just yet. We've seen, right? It was a Flacco, you know, led the Ravens to the Super Bowl's rookie year. Roethlisberger was pretty good. I think it was his rookie year. So we have seen quarterbacks. I mean, you know, that's in the last 20, 25 seasons. But we have seen quarterbacks be able to do this. But is Mac Jones somewhere along the line, you know, Mac Jones is going to have to win a football game. And I still haven't seen that yet, so I'm not going to believe in it totally.
Yeah, it's almost like Georgia, Alabama, and I hate to be going to the colleges again, but Georgia wasn't tested all year until they faced Alabama in the SEC championship game, and Stetson Bennett had to make some plays. It could be maybe a showdown with the Kansas City Chiefs again. It's one thing when you had Tom Brady at the helm and you had a physical rushing attack with Rex Burkhead and the physical offensive line and Sony Michel, but now Mac Jones, even though he's progressing and he's taking steps, it really is this physical offensive line, and it is the defense that's basically carrying this team. He's making plays along the way, but in a road environment, you still have to say you'll take the team that can run the football, and that's the biggest thing. I think when you're looking at even Tampa Bay's run last year, as dynamic as it was and as dynamic as Tom Brady was making plays, it was still the rushing attack of Leonard Fournette that really put them in a position to win those ball games, right? It was the complement of the rushing attack and the offensive line, Tristan Wirfs, and that physical offensive line to ground and pound to sustain drives, and then Brady, you know, working off a play action. So I think they are built to win games on the road, but if you're telling me right now, conference winner, it was Buffalo and Kansas City. Now it's Kansas City and New England. +300 for the Chiefs, +350 for the Pats, and +490 for the Bills, and then the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson at +750.
Yeah, and think about this, Joe. You know, it's a long ways off, but two out of the top three teams, odds-wise with FanDuel, you said it, Tampa Bay and New England. Can you imagine what that two-week hype period would be like with Belichick versus Brady? Oh, my God. I mean, it would be nauseating. It really would. But that would be, I think, it's hard to say by far because the viewership is so great. But that would be the highest-rated Super Bowl ever. And I'll go one step further. Even if it's not Tampa Bay and New England, think about the teams, Joe, that are in a position to get realistically now to the Super Bowl. Tampa Bay with Brady. Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, the Dallas Cowgirls, Kansas City with Mahomes, New England now with Belichick and Jones, and you can even say if you want to throw Lamar Jackson in there. I mean, the only teams that really don't bring a lot to the table that are in serious consideration would be, to me, Tennessee and Arizona. But all those others, boy, you're talking about a monster Super Bowl this year, unless something crazy happens.
Yeah, I agree with you. And week 14, as we get into the month of December, I mean, we have some marquee battles. You have the Raiders and Chiefs. You have Pittsburgh and Minnesota. You go down the list, looking in the NFC. I mean, Washington and Dallas in a divisional game that has huge implications for the title, right? Look in terms of San Francisco, Cincinnati, Buffalo and Tampa Bay, Chicago and Green Bay. I mean, there are some dominant matchups. Rams in Arizona on Monday night. So there's going to be viewership, and these games are going to be very closely contested from the spread perspective. Let's look at some weekly specials, because I know you love this. We'll start out with a couple. Tom Brady and Josh Allen to combine. You ready for this? 7+ touchdowns in week 14. They're going to give you 4-1 on that.
Ooh, I don't like that. Well, I mean, 4-1. Watching that Bills offense, how are they? You know, how's Josh Allen going to? You know, you might get 3 or 4 out of Brady, but yeah, you'd still need 3 out of Josh Allen. Yeah, nah, I don't like that one.
Okay.
Not bad, but I don't like that one.
Not rich enough for you, okay?
No,
how about this one? This one's probably a dead under for you because I know how you feel about the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence and Ryan Tannehill each to throw for 2+ touchdowns. Now, Trevor Lawrence in the loss to the Rams, 145 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 4-1. And Tannehill, coming off a 93-yard performance last week in the loss to the Patriots.
Yeah, so you know he's going to be all fired up. I'd like to know the health of those Tennessee wide receivers. Well, I tell you, I've watched Trevor Lawrence, Joe. We talked about it. He's just not getting better. You can make the case he's getting worse. But you're getting 4-1 on that, huh? You know how many times he's thrown 2 touchdowns in a game this year? A little guess. Guess how many times he's thrown.
I think it's once, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, first game of the year. First game against Houston. And he has not scored, or he has not thrown for more than 1 touchdown after that. So I think I would shy away from that one. Enticing, but no, I can't do it.
Here's one that'll really get you pumped up. You ready? Because I know you love the Falcons. Cordarrelle Patterson to have 1+ receiving and 1+ rushing touchdown, 8-1. You could take the wife out to the 5-star restaurant, buy the kids Christmas gifts, and still have money to gamble on New Year's.
Yeah, Chinese food tonight. Now, yeah, that I do like. Absolutely. 8-1 is, you know, he definitely could do that for the. He's the whole offense for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, they're actually a halfway decent team when he's playing. You know, he to the Falcons is like, you know, Eckler to the Chargers, or you know, pick anybody. The guy with the Saints, what's his face as well.
So Kamara.
Kamara. Yeah, I like that. I do like that. It gets a Carolina defense, pretty good, but that's okay. I mean, you're not asking for a lot, not asking for 100 yards total. I mean, just 1 touchdown receiving and rushing. So they utilize him both ways. So I like that 8-1.
Yeah, and they're 3-point dogs on the road to Carolina. They're -118 total set at 43.5, juice to the under at -114. I like Carolina. I know you're gonna take them. They fired their offensive coordinator, Joe Brady.
Yeah.
The guru.
Mr. Boy Wonder. The guru. Yeah.
The guru. He might go back to LSU, possibly. We'll see how that plays out with Brian Kelly and that staff. But do you think the Falcons have a shot in this matchup on the road?
I think they're going to win. I think they're going to head coach Matt Rhule that's, you know, talking about going back to college and everything. They lose their coordinator. They don't know if they're coming or going. I like the Falcons to win outright.
All right. When we come back, we'll dive into that NFC East battle. Dak and Taylor Heinicke coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Ripping through the action from week 13 into week number 14, left off talking about Mac Jones, Buffalo Bills, both of their chances to potentially win the Super Bowl. Some great battles this coming weekend, and one battle takes the Dallas Cowboys on the road to face the Washington football team. What can you say about Washington? They're playing with house money right now. They're back to 500 at 6-6. Taylor Heinicke stepped up on the road in Las Vegas. Scott, completed about 60% of his passes, 196 through the air, two touchdowns, one interception. That defense contained Derek Carr for the most part. They've won two straight games now by a total score of 34-30, right? They were a total of 4 points, beat the Seahawks, beat the Raiders. Now you get Dak and the Dallas Cowboys come to your place. Dallas does have a couple of extra days of preparation playing on Thursday night. They beat up on New Orleans in that matchup, completely made Taysom Hill look like a deer in the headlights. Now they're laying 4 on the road, minus 110 either way, total a little high at 47.5. I still like Dallas. I like the under here, but I got to be honest, it wouldn't shock me if Washington pulls out this ballgame.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised Dallas is that big of a road favorite, right? 4 points on the road is a big number, but I would tell you that this is the brutal three-week stretch for the Redskin Potatoes, in that they play the Raiders, who are playing, you know, on an extra 3 days rest, while Washington was playing on one less day because they were playing Monday night, which was crazy, and now they got to come back and they get to play another situation where they're playing on short week and Dallas is not. So Dallas is a favorite. Washington blitzed them twice, if you remember. Last year, Joe, yep. They beat him with 25-3 and then 41-16. And a chance to really make that NFC East tight if they were to win, then it would be one game back. They've won 4 in a row, has Washington. I tell you, I like Washington. I have no faith in Dallas. They're such an enigma. 1 week good, next week bad. Back and forth they go. Zeke Elliott is nowhere close to being the player he was, whether it's injury, whether it's interest, whether it's money, who knows what it is, but he's not. And their wide receiver position is still up, in chaos. Who's playing? Who's not playing? Who's upset? I like Washington. Give me the team that's red hot. I'll go with the Washington at home getting 4.
The only thing that scares me is that obviously the injury to Logan Thomas, right? He's done for the year, ACL, MCL. Does that hurt in terms of having that hybrid type of tight end in terms of a goal line situation or red zone opportunities? I know he just came back for the most part against the game in Seattle. Here's the problem, too. Seattle's secondary really changed things up. Think about how they were abused earlier in the year, and that was with Chase Young in that lineup, right? That front seven wasn't getting pressure outside that week one game against L.A. and Justin Herbert. They were getting abused by some of the mediocre offenses in the NFL, right? Couldn't stop the pass. Then all of a sudden, basically, they've clamped down over the last 4 or 5 weeks. They're much better forcing teams to methodically work down the field. They're not giving up chunk plays, but I still think Dallas has way too many playmakers. And even if we take Zeke out of the equation, because I agree with you, I don't know where his head is. I thought it was a waste of money to extend him, because you look at the explosiveness of Tony Pollard, not just in the run game, but in the short to intermediate pass game. He could return kicks. He's all-around player, five-tool guy, almost like Alvin Kamara. I don't think they're going to miss a beat. I like Gallup. I like Dak. Now, we haven't seen Dak run as much, but this could be the game where he gets to it, and that's where I give the edge to Dallas. Again, not sold on the defense in terms of I think they'll give up some yards, but they're still opportunistic with Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons. That's why I give the slight edge to Dallas, even though it's back-to-back road games, a couple extra days of prep as well.
Yeah, that helps, like I said, from the start. But I just think that number is big enough where Dallas could win, make it a field goal game. On paper, Dallas is going to be better than nearly every team in the NFL when you start breaking it down. Like, oh, my God, they got offense, they got this, they got that. But it just hasn't happened for the Cowboys over the last month. So I'll take Washington. If McKissick plays this week, that would help, obviously. Thomas, he's missed so many games, It would be nice to have him in the lineup. He's only played six games this year, so they've adjusted without him. And you just need McLaren to step up. But I'll take Washington at home. This is going to bring back memories. The old 70s and 80s battles. I mean, this is classic
right.
Dallas Cowboy, Washington potato football. So
yeah,
it's good for the NFL.
Yeah, let's look deeper just at their Super Bowl odds. I mean, would you pull the trigger because you love value? I know you do, and I know the schedule is tough. But prior to this game, we talked about it with Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts a couple weeks ago when they were playing the Giants. They obviously lost that ballgame. Washington 100-1 to win the Super Bowl, and Dallas right now at 13-1. I actually think Dallas has great value here, because I think they can go on a run as they get healthier. I think they win this ball game, so I'm willing to pull it at 13-1. But would you, if you believe Washington, that's not bad value at 100-1 right now.
No, you know, it's amazing. It's higher now than it was at the beginning of the year. But think about the gauntlet, you know, that they would have to go through on the road, you know, because even if they won the division, they're going to have the worst record out of the division leaders, right? They're not going to beat Arizona and Green Bay. And so they're going to have to go through, you know, Arizona, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, two out of those three, plus a wild card game. Mm. You know, can you find yourself where you're in a position to hedge? You know, that's the thing. Probably, you know, you'd have to probably wait until they won that first game, and then you can maybe start hedging. But they're going to be such big dogs. I mean, they legitimately would be, a 12, 13, 14-point underdog in those next games, whether it's Green Bay, Arizona, or Tampa Bay, right? So, I mean,
right.
The money line, you're going to, you know, I suppose you could at 100-1. It's not that bad, but yeah, I mean, you'd have to start hedging, I guess, like I said, after week one, if they could win that first game. So 100-1, out of all the 100-1s, then between them and Minnesota and Philadelphia, will include in there at 90-1, or Vegas at 120-1, I would put Washington on top out of all those teams. Yeah,
I would too, especially the way their defense is playing, led by Jonathan Allen. So we'll see how that game plays out. We'll dive into it deeper as the week progresses. Let's turn our attention to L.A., and I mean the Chargers. They take on the New York Giants. Daniel Jones likely won't play again. And we talked about it throughout all last week. He's out for the year, but the team won't confirm it. We've been back and forth now two straight weeks. It looks like it will be Mike Lennon. They're 10.5-point dogs on the road to face a red-hot Justin Herbert and the crew, coming off a 19-point win on the road in Cincinnati against Joe Burrow. 44.5 is the total. I can't buy into the Giants. After last week, 9 points against the Miami Dolphins. I mean, Saquon, 55 rushing yards. He hasn't done anything in the passing game. They can't stretch teams vertically. How are they even going to move the football on the front seven of L.A. in this ballgame?
Yeah, you know, and you're going to hear some good numbers with the Giants, as you heard all year, 19-7 against the spread, Joe, as road dogs. But only 3-3 this year. So there comes to a point where you have to throw out those trends that look so great, because in reality, it hasn't worked out this year. It's 3-3. My question, it's not about the Giants, it's what Charger team are you going to get? You know, they have not played their best football for whatever reason at home, which seems kind of weird. You think, you know, most teams generally play better at home, but they haven't. They've lost to the Cowboys, they lost to Baltimore, they lost to New England, they lost to Minnesota. All these at home. They got a home win against Pittsburgh, which they were lucky to get that. And then Cleveland and the Raiders. So they got a couple, but not nearly as many as they should. So if you get the Charger team from last week, then, they'll win by four touchdowns. If you get the Charger team against Pittsburgh even, or the other team that they lost to, then the Giants will hang in it. But I'm not big on laying double digits, but I can't take the Giants. They're a mess.
I can't
Mike
either.
Mike Lennon stinks. Yeah.
A bigger question is Joe Judge dead man walking? I mean, if you're looking at L.A. right now, L.A. every other week we talk about it, you have to back them. So they had their good week last week. Technically, we should be on the Giants just based off how they've been a helter-skelter team all season long. Go back, just
right.
Look at the wins and losses, right? But that being said, in terms of New York, you want to talk about a tomato can. This is the Peter McNeely of the NFL right now with Mike Lennon at the helm. And if you listen to the press conference with Joe Judge, yeah, they made a lot of good plays. And we make plays. And the guy saw a number of guys make a ton of plays. Really, Joe? You scored 9 points. At the end of the day, you weren't making plays. You weren't doing absolute anything on the offensive side of the ball. Who are you kidding? My bigger question is, because I think they absolutely get blown out of this ballgame, Is he there in 2022? And more importantly, if he isn't, is old man Gettleman out with him?
Well, I think Gettleman's out for sure. He was almost out before this season. So would the Giants fire a second-year head coach who really has no ties to the organization? It's just basically based on, Belichick's no doubt probably giving him a good vote of confidence. But other than that, I mean, he hasn't embraced himself to the fans. There's no tie there. There's really no – I tell you, for both fan bases here in New York, New Jersey, with the Robert Saleh of the Jets and the Judge here with the Giants, I don't get, whether it was, pick any former, Giant head coach. The fans kind of got into it a little bit. He's just kind of there. They're expecting something. They're kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt, but – the team isn't any better this year than it was last year. I still think they've got some pretty good parts, and they haven't been able to put it together. They got two first-round draft choices because they got the Bears' first-round pick due to the trade last year they made on draft day. So they're going to have two, theoretically at this point, top 10 picks. If you fire the GM, you got to give that GM the ability to hire his own guy, right? So it's not like the Giants to get rid of a guy after 2 years, but I wouldn't doubt it. If they bottom out, they got Chargers, Dallas, at Philly, at the Bears, and Washington. They could win maybe one of those games the rest of the way. Finish up at 5-12. I think he'd get fired. He would.
I can't stand Joe Judge for the simple fact that he's a dead under coach, and I can't bet unders in the NFL. He's a complete money burn, deer in the headlights. He's afraid to win games 30-27. He'd rather try and win them 13-10, just like Vic Fangio. When we come back, San Fran and Cincinnati next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
The start of the year, Scott was all in on Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor to potentially be a dark horse in the AFC. He was looking good up until last week's game where they were basically three-point favorites over Justin Herbert and the crew. Lost that ball game. They were in a position to potentially take the lead. Joe Mixon fumbles. Scoop and score later, L.A. walks out with a 19-point win. On the flip side, you had Jimmy Graps throw for 299 in the loss, 30-23 to the Seattle Seahawks. Both teams square off in Cincinnati. San Fran is a one-point favorite on the road against the Bengals, but I got to be honest with you. I'm not sold on the San Francisco 49er offense. I'm not sold on Shanahan. I don't care if they stepped up from an offensive perspective. He only looks at George Kittle. I think Cincinnati steps up, bounces back, and I wouldn't be shocked if they win this ballgame by 10 points or more on Sunday.
Ooh, there you go. Welcome to the dark side. I'm still on their bandwagon. I still think they have a chance to win not only the division, but maybe a game or two in the postseason. I think they're winning the Super Bowl. But this is a huge game, and really disappointed in San Fran, even more so than Cincinnati. Cincinnati, they are what they are. If they don't make the playoffs this year, that's okay. They made progress from last year. Burrow's back. The one thing that did come out of that game is he did bust his finger up pretty good. And he had a difficult time throwing afterwards. And I got to tell you, Joe, back in high school, but that was about, 15 years or so, I separated my finger and fractured my finger on my throwing hand. So I remember at work, I worked at a fast food joint. We were having, a food fight. And I threw, a French fry or something. I don't know. The pain that shot down my arm with that busted finger was, no pain I ever felt, ever. I mean, it was just excruciating, right? So when I saw Burrow this past weekend do that same thing, it's like, all right, he's got a busted finger because I know exactly what that feels like. So he was able to finish out the game, but I am concerned about that. So Cincinnati at home has to win. San Fran, boy, you got to beat Seattle last week. That is such a bad loss. They had a two-score lead, 23-13, I think it was, or 23-12, whatever it was, 23-14, and they blow the game with a team that's playing for absolutely nothing, Seattle, dead in the water. They couldn't score heading into that game. 26 points in the last three games. I mean, that's a bad loss for the Niners. Very disappointed in them. So I think Cincinnati rather bounce back and wins the game.
I think Joe Burrow bounces back, too. And just because you couldn't grip the French fry back in circa 1976, I got to hand it to Joe Burrow. But the one thing you got to love about Burrow in the loss, I don't care. You're down 24 to nothing. How many NFL teams would quit? Right? He was chucking it. He was leading them back. They're down 24 to 22. He's still slinging it. Jamar Chase stepping up. Those playmakers. I mean, this team believes that they can win at all costs. It doesn't matter if they're down four scores, right? That's what I love about the mindset of Joe Burrow and this offense. It never seems like they're out of it. And I understand he's banged up, but I got to be honest. We talked about the San Francisco front seven all year long. You allow Seattle, okay? Seattle, that you went through their list of production over the last six or seven games. Would they crack 20 points once over the last seven games? You allow them 30 points in that battle? 30 points with a one-dimensional offense. They didn't have a stitch of a rushing game. Oh, man, Adrian Peterson. He scores a touchdown. He thinks it's 2006. He's running all over the Oregon Ducks in Outson Stadium.
Yeah. It's amazing. This guy just won't go away. It's amazing. He just won't go away. You know, and one last thing with Cincinnati from that side of things, Joe. You know, there's they can't get that Bungles DNA out of their system just yet. You know, they fell behind 24-0. They score a touchdown, and they want to go for two. Now, this is early second quarter. I think it's dumb, but okay, whatever. You want to cut it to a two-score game. That's fine. So instead of just going for two, you know what happens? They get a delay game penalty because the team's celebrating too long, so they can't get the two-point unit on the field. So then they got to take a five-yard penalty. So then they decide, okay, we're just going to kick the one-point extra point, and lo and behold, you knew it. If there was a FanDuel bet at that point, is this kicker going to make this extra point? I would have bet my house mortgage. No way. Not with the Bungles, and sure, he shanks it left or right. I forget which side, but he didn't make it. And even Ian Eagle was doing the game saying, you know, they're not exactly going to show this clip here in Canton, Ohio. I mean, it was the Bungles all over again. You know, go for two, go for one, make a decision. You can't get a delay game penalty, and then you miss the extra point because the field goal was too far out. So there's still a little bit of that Bungles DNA in his Cincinnati team.
Is there enough Bungles in their DNA for you not to pull the trigger on them to win the AFC championship at 18-1? Because I think it's pretty good value.
Listen, I got them at 33-1 to win the division. So I'm that's my goal right now. I told people to grab onto that, and then we got the Dolphin play as well. So 18-1. You know, theoretically, it's all there, right? They got the running game with Mixon. They got the wide receivers. They got the quarterback. They got a pretty good defense. They may be the classic team that's probably 1 year away. But you want to throw a couple shekels at 18-1. That's not too bad. You got to get them to win the division, though. You have to win that division. Forget my bet, but just you don't want to be a wild card team in the AFC. You want to be able to win the division and get a home game.
Well, it's a great pick by you because currently on FanDuel, they are plus 270 to win the division right behind Baltimore. So, well, hopefully they can get it home for you. I'm rooting for you, buddy, in that ballgame. Let's look at this matchup because I got to be honest with you. When I broke it down earlier in the week, I said, you know what? There's no way I could potentially take Jacksonville yet again. But they're playing Tennessee. This line now has jumped in favor of Jacksonville. I mean, yesterday it was a 10-point spread, if I'm not mistaken. Now on FanDuel, 8.5 in favor of the Tennessee Titans, minus 110 either way. 43.5 is the total, juice to the over at minus 115. Money coming in on Urban Meyer and Jacksonville right now.
I don't know why. They must not be watching the Jaguars play. Maybe they realize, okay, Urban's not going anywhere. But watching the Jags, they can't score. Their offense is atrocious. I mean, they try and run the ball. They can't. They try and throw it with Trevor. He's not that good. We told you earlier, one touchdown pass in his last 11 games. No more, or one or less anyway. He hasn't thrown for two except for opening day. Unless Tennessee's all banged up, it's still with their wide receivers, and that's the key with them, Julio Jones, right? I mean, you get an A.J. Brown, you got to figure out if they're playing. If they're not playing, then I get it. But if those two are coming off a bye, coming off a bad loss, I like Tennessee at home laying even 8.5. Boy, 8.5 is a bargain. I was looking to lay 10, to tell you the truth.
Back-to-back road games for the Jags. Sometimes it doesn't matter. You saw some other team step up. For the worst regular season record, okay, Jacksonville, 8-1. Could they tank, like go straight down like a dart over the last 4 weeks of the season?
They could, and then don't forget, Detroit would hold the tiebreaker in that, if you're looking at Detroit anyway, you got Houston thrown in there as well, but Detroit has the one tie. So if they were to win Detroit, they would have one less loss than Jacksonville. So they would be, you know, Jacksonville would be ranked lower than them. And Tennessee and Houston and Jacksonville, it doesn't go head-to-head. You got to look at strength of schedule for the worst record. I'm guessing that's how FanDuel would do it if for worst record, not head-to-head. But find out about that. Before you make these bets, sometimes you got to look into these things. Because draft order, it's strength of schedule. Worst record with FanDuel, it might be head-to-head. And Jacksonville lost to Houston. So if they lose again, that would help their cause. They might be the worst. I could see a Lions victory more so than I could see a Jacksonville victory.
I'll take it even a step further because I know your affinity for Urban Meyer, right? 3.5 adjusted win total on Jacksonville. Juiced to the over at -135, under +115. They're giving you positive value, Scotty. +115 to the under, 3.5.
3.5. So that means you can beat Houston. They got the Jets, too. They got two winnable games, but one's on the road. They're not beating Tennessee, right? Where they cover the spread, different story. They're not beating Tennessee. They're not beating New England on the road. I don't think they're beating Indianapolis, even at home, to close out the regular season, because that figures to be a meaningful game for the Colts. Are they going to beat Houston and the New York Jets? Boy, you're giving me odds that they're going to beat both those teams. Oh, I like that a lot, right? I'll take the under, absolutely. What is Fan thinking of, right? I mean, honestly, I mean, they're not going to beat Tennessee, right? I mean, they're awful. They're not going to beat New England. They're not beating the Colts. The only two would be Houston at home and then the Jets. And, could they win both those games? I suppose. But you're asking a team that's won two games all year to all of a sudden win back-to-back games. I don't care who they're playing. And you want to give me odds against that?
Is Keyshawn Johnson playing for the Jets in that game?
Wayne Grabett might be getting some more playing time.
Right.
You never know. I think there'd be more fight in the Jets than there would be, and Houston, I think.
I don't know. I'm going to say it right now. Bust Zach Wilson. I said it at the start of the year. He's a deer in the headlights. When you see all the younger quarterbacks, as bad as Trevor Lawrence is, I still give him an edge over Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson looks completely lost. He really does. I mean, come on. He had 108 yards. They were giving him the middle of the field with Philadelphia last week. The whole middle of the field didn't take it. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out, but I still think he's a bust. Jet fans going to be all over me. I don't care. I said it. They should have taken Justin Fields. I think 2-3 years down the road, Fields will be a much better quarterback and pay dividends as long as Matt Nagy's not in Chicago. That's the key factor. Let's look at Thursday's game. Pitt gets the victory over Baltimore. Minnesota, I mean, what a loss that is for Zimmer and the crew. Is there any way Minnesota could step up in this ballgame and absolutely win their 3-point favorites back against the wall against Big Ben and the crew? I'm all in on the Steelers. Minnesota, to me, you lose that ballgame, all of a sudden now you're going to care and step up because you're playing at home? No way. Give me the Steelers on the road.
Yeah, see, now you're buying into Pittsburgh. This is exactly when Pittsburgh throws an egg at you, you know, and exactly when Minnesota, you know, throws a good game at you. These two teams are just the exact the same. You know, once you start buying in or killing them, that's when all of a sudden they rise up. So this figures to be a one-score game. Vikings have played in everything but one-score games, all but one game this year, 17 of the last 20. And that would generally help Pittsburgh's cause, but I can't see the Steelers. As much as that Viking loss was horrible, how do you let the Lions drive
Zimmer
80 yards with no timeouts?
Zimmer.
Oh, that's just brutal. And then Joe's got his defensive backs playing into 5 yards into the end zone. I mean, it's fourth and goal from the 11-yard line, and they get these guys playing five, six yards into the end zone. What are you doing? You know, put one guy on the line of scrimmage. I mean, you talk about dumb defense. So it's hard to put American money on them. It is, but Like I said, every time I put faith in Pittsburgh, they lose. You know, and when I write them off, they win. And now you're trying to buy into them. I get it. But short week, emotional win against Baltimore, obviously. I think that's a tough spot for Pittsburgh. I'll take the Vikes.
Yeah, I'll take Pittsburgh. It comes down to two factors, and take Big Ben out of it. Take all the players out of it. Tomlin's a winner. Zimmer's a loser. Bottom line, I'm going to take Tomlin any day of the week. Catching points on the road against a dead team. You give up 29 points to Jared Goff? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Jared Goff didn't throw for... Oh, my God. Please, when we come back, we'll wrap it up. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Wrapping up today's show goes by quick when Scott and I break down NFL action. You could always tune into us Saturday mornings right here on the grid. College Football Today from 9 to 12. We'll be breaking down Army-Navy. Let's end it with this, Scott. Big battle in Cleveland. Cleveland is 2.5-point favorites in the rematch against the Ravens. They played a couple weeks ago, 16-10. Lamar Jackson and the crew got the win and the cover, laying 3.5. I don't think it changes. You're going to give me 2.5 points. I know Cleveland's at home. They're a better team, but I have no faith in Baker Mayfield, Case Keenum. The running game wasn't there a couple weeks ago. It's not there now. Give me Baltimore in the minor upset, back-to-back road games for the Ravens.
All right, I'm going to go with the Browns here. They've alternated wins and losses over the last 7 games. They lost last time out, so they're due a victory. It's tough to beat a team back-to-back, right? And this is legitimately back-to-back, even though the Browns had a bye week sandwich in between. Tough spot again, emotional game for Baltimore. I think the ebbs and flows of a season is starting to catch up with Baltimore, Joe. I really do. They've had so many close victories and so many games that they really had no business winning. It fattens their record up a little bit, and give them credit for it, but that's tough to do for an entire season. Eventually, they go back to being what they should be, and in my eyes, with all those running back issues, that's basically a barely over 500 football team. Browns season, not necessarily on the line, but this is a huge game. They handled them fairly well the last two seasons. You know, this last game was a blip, and even that, as bad as Cleveland played, they had a chance to win. So I think the Browns are going to get better, Ravens are going to get worse, and I think Cleveland wins.
You know what I like here, and I know they're dangling the carrot. I always bite at these 41.5 for both of these teams. There's going to be some place. I mean, again, we're not talking Giants. Lamar could break one. Yeah. Baker could get hot. Chubb. I mean, there are playmakers in this game. So that's why I like the over 41.5. For Scott Wetzel, our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll be back tomorrow getting you prepared for Week 14. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.